Welcome back to Transform, a podcast highlighting the people and ideas shaping the future of senior living. I'm Austin Montgomery for Senior Housing News. On today's episode, I spoke with Distinctive Living CEO Joe Jedlowski. Based in Freehold, New Jersey, Distinctive Living was founded in early 2021 and has grown to include over 46 communities under management and 12 sites under development. Distinctive Living is expanding operations through acquisitions, new management agreements, and ongoing development. That's contrasted by the company's pursuit of future capital partners to fuel growth.
We're very happy the way 2024 is shaping up, and we expect to end very strong.
Now, here's my interview with Distinctive Living CEO, Joe Jedlowski. Joe, thanks again for joining us here on Transform. We're really excited to talk about Distinctive's growth once again, and we know we're highlighting the evolution, it seems like, in real time. So appreciate you coming on Transform.
Yeah, Austin, thanks so much for having us, having me. And, you know, we as an organization are obviously proud of our relationship with your organization and always keeping everyone updated on what we're doing. So thank you.
Of course. And let's dive right in. I think a great place to start would be talking about the most recent news. Do you want to talk about the acquisition with Validus? I know that was something that there was a lot of time and effort put into that. But do you want to talk about how maybe this helps fuel the next stage of growth for Distinctive Living?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, obviously this is it was a big undertaking for us. It was over a year in the works and in the making. I have been through mergers and acquisitions previously of other management companies that I spearheaded. And, you know, this one was an extremely important acquisition because it wasn't necessarily, while it added community, communities and geography and resources in our field, it was also an opportunity for Distinctive to be very strategic around how do we make sure that we have, one, the very best talent at our support center, but two, how do we expand our resource offering to our current communities and future communities coming into the Distinctive platform. And this was a very strategic, very thoughtful, very methodical, very slow, quite honestly, acquisition, and blending both of the Validus culture into the Distinctive culture is something that we were very intentional about how we did that, right? And making sure that cultural alignment was in place to make sure that, you know, system integration on both sides were in place, that we had, we went into this with no preconceived notions of Distinctive does things better than Validus or Validus does things better than Distinctive. We went into this over a year ago saying, at the end of the day, we want to take every system and process in our company to the ground, and we want to evaluate truly what is the best for our company, for our team, you know, in the field, our team in the community, and for the current investor base that we work with. And we went in and we kind of tackled all of those things that I just talked about, people, process, systems, to the ground over the past year, and did pilots, evaluated, and, you know, as of 4/1, we brought the Validus properties on. We also brought, you know, the Validus management team onto the Distinctive team. And I'll tell you, it has just been going really well. You know, culturally assimilated, you know, the team really well. Organizationally, I think everyone has been excited, right? A lot of energy, a lot of systems, process, and just added to the structure that we had in place. And so it's you know, we're, I think, 53 days and counting into this transition. And, you know, I think everyone is very happy with the results up to this point. And so, no, we're really excited to really pivot from kind of transition now to really how do we go and how do we really stabilize, bring stabilization to the rest of this portfolio, and then go into the fine tuning mode, right? So our team, actually, we just got off 2 days of a large senior leadership meeting in our Tampa office, And the focus of our company is results, right? So starting today, you know, we have a very structured strategic business plan for our company as well as each of our communities. And we're going to be very, very focused on executing that, you know, over the next several months. And so we are going to be laser focused. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you going into detail, because one of the areas that I think is most interesting when we hear the news of these types of acquisitions and just the effort that goes into on an integration side, to hear those three areas that you had discussed to be kind of the priorities makes total sense. And that leads into my next question, which was talking about just all those systems alignment and integration that you really need in an effort like this. You want to talk about, I know you only said you're less than 60 days in, but what are some of the areas at the operational level in terms of integration that you're really focusing on? Some of the priorities, would love to know what you're really looking at when you think integration for this going forward, especially here in 24.
Yeah. Good question, Austin. So when I'm talking about integration, I'm talking about a couple of things, right? I'm talking about, what is the process? What is our experience, right? From an operations standpoint, right? So, before a resident even becomes a resident of ours, right? From a digital standpoint or a marketing standpoint, all the way through potentially a resident moving out, right? And what does that experience look like, and how do we really bring uniformity to that experience, but also keeping that local flair, because it's very important to keep that local flair, right? At each one of our communities, because our communities have to be community based. And so it's a very local business, right? Is what I'm driving home. And for us, that is very important, right? As you know, you've been following us. We started this as a boutique management company, right? And a boutique development company, and not boutique as in small, but boutique as in the feeling that people get when they're in our buildings, right? And our team members feel. And so for us, from an integration standpoint, we tackled this in a couple of ways, right? One, what does the experience look like, from when the customer signs the lease, then it is entered into our electronic lease system, right? That then flows kind of into our Yardi accounting system, that then flows into our clinical system. So truly, we have one data point, right, of truth. And a lot of companies have lots of data points of truth, right? Is it their sales CRM that's the truth? Is it their clinical system that's the truth? Is it their financial system that's the truth? And from an integration standpoint, there's nothing more frustrating, you know, either as a capital partner or as an owner of a business, than having multiple different data points that don't match. And so from an integration standpoint, we've really been focused on how do we have all data points leading to the same number, right? So there's a lot of interconnectivity. Lindsay Hacker, who is our executive vice president and chief financial officer, has really worked with all of our team members and all of our vendors to really get that to be a seamless process. So that's one piece of it, right? Then you have the other piece of it, which is really kind of our digital marketing, and our marketing platform, as well as, you know, our business model of utilizing a senior housing call center to take all of our calls, right? It's been a topic, multiple discussions, multiple operators have lots of opinions on this. You know, previously I was the president of a company. We had 100 plus assets prior to starting Distinctive Living. We rolled out a call center and we saw our conversions shoot through the roof, right? And so we've adopted that as best practice in our portfolio. And we continue to see the results of the call center really being very successful for us. And the other thing it does is it really, from an integration standpoint, it allows us to really have truthful data points inside of our sales process. When did the lead really come in? Who is the first person that touched that lead, right? What was our speed to lead time that we're measuring? And then really measuring what has been the follow-up of that lead from our call center directly to our sales team. And so from an integration standpoint, you know, implementing and fine-tuning all of the data metrics around our sales and marketing process has been, you know, a very, very big focus for us. You know, and we have really brought in lots of people into those conversations to make sure that, you know, our process is very well thought out and everyone's poked holes in it. And, you know, we're seeing very good, strong results. And then I think the last piece of it is just our team member integration, right? Which I probably should have started with because it's probably the most important out of all of it. When you're bringing on a significant amount of employees, right, our people and culture team, led by Kate Wentworth, has really done a good job of talking about integration as it relates to our HRIS system, but also as it relates to how do we communicate with our employees, right? And how do we solicit feedback real time from our employees? And so, you know, we've implemented Go Happy. I think we've talked about that previously. We've also implemented, you know, several other things in our company where, you know, based on certain dates that are driven from our HRIS system, our teams are getting text messages, welcome emails from, you know, our COO, messages about health benefits enrollment, text messages, and also the ability to respond with either one, two, or three, and then or be able to add comments to us. That as a senior leadership team, we are all looking at that, right? Once a month, we are in our office collectively sitting around a table, and we are looking at all of these data points. And so from an integration standpoint, those are really the three buckets. You know, and then there's probably a fourth bucket, which is our customer experience, our resident experience.
That public-facing component, yeah.
Exactly, which is super critical. You know, and from an integration standpoint there, it's really making sure that all of those systems that I was just talking about are super interconnected. So we have good morale, we have positive turnover, we have good communication with our team, we have good integration from a physical plant perspective and resources and tools managing that. With all of that being the intention of providing a good place and a happy place for our residents to live, right? And it really is the byproduct of all those other things that I talked about, truly.
Right. I think you have to be able to have the base there in operations and the cohesion with the integration that's happening to be able to make that product like you were talking about. So really interesting to hear your insights there. And I think it's only fitting that you're able to continue this growth in a manner that has seemingly paid off so far. And I think it's also interesting to note, too, some of the other the past ways you've leaned on some of the experience in your past to be able to make things work at an operational level and to really scale. So it's really been interesting to watch. When you're thinking about what's ahead, one more point on acquisitions before we go forward. Yep. Do you see any other future opportunities out there? Would love to know what you see ahead.
Yeah, I think that there's right now, there are a lot of opportunities, right? And our conversations have, you know, primarily been with large institutional investments, right? Groups. And, you know, they are really, and it's been interesting, right? They've really been evaluating their operator base over since COVID, right? And you hear a lot, we want a regional based operator, right? You hear that although we want the operator to be big enough to have adequate resources to report institutionally, right? Also to be able to say, okay, if you have to make some tough decisions in a community, right, you have the appropriate and adequate resources as an organization to be able to go and meet those needs to make sure that community is taken care of, right? So it's a little bit of a balancing act, I think, of what our capital partners are really looking for. So we've been having lots of conversations with the capital groups that, you know, from a geography standpoint, really fit into where we are operating. That has been a very big focus for us. Not that we are looking we're looking to expand our business, but only where it makes sense, quite honestly, Austin, right? To go to Idaho for us for a 30-unit community just doesn't make sense, right? From a resource perspective, from a geography perspective. And quite honestly, today, if we were to stop growing, I always get asked this question, you know, how big do you guys want to be? And part of my answer is always, today is the right size for us. If we cannot do and we cannot be successful with the communities that we have, then we don't want to grow, right? And we talk about this a lot with our senior leadership team, with our partners, right? That, hey, you know, we may pass on this opportunity, but keep thinking about us. It may not just be the right time for us or it may not be the right portfolio for us, or for whatever reason, we've evaluated the opportunity and it just didn't fit with us. But you know, we want to make sure whatever we do, we have confidence that we can be successful, that our team feels confidence they can be successful, and the data that, you know, we look at and the data in the markets that we're looking at tell us we can be successful. So, you know, we're a little bit different, than maybe some other operators where we're picky. But it's bode well for us, right? We've been able to demonstrate results to our capital, which has allowed us to grow our portfolio over the past 3.5 years.
Yeah. And I think it's been a pretty fast pace, even albeit strategically. So it's been interesting to hear, and I have a feeling we'll be hearing more soon. So thanks for sharing there. And now I would love to just shift a little bit, still kind of with a growth mindset in mind, thinking about Distinctive's development pipeline, because I know we touched base earlier this year when I was writing a feature on cottages, and you had mentioned some of the opportunities you see there. So let's check in on the development pipeline. What's that current number look like? Would love to know just where you see some of the opportunities. I want to just catch up from a development side of things. What are you seeing there?
Yeah. As you know, I mean, that is also a big part of our business model. So thanks for bringing that up. So right now we have roughly 12 buildings in some form or fashion of development. We have 4 or 5 pieces of property right now that we are looking to enter an LOI on. So that will put us roughly around 16 communities that we are looking to develop. And part of that portfolio is our cottage model, right? And what that is essentially, their neighborhood. It's called a pocket neighborhood. So we're going to have 10 or, you know, basically, let's say anywhere from 8 to 12 of these cottages kind of in a circle, with maybe a gazebo, with, you know, front yards, driveways, on a campus that is probably about 20 acres where we have a clubhouse. And you know, well, it'll certainly be fully amenitized right in the clubhouse. And our business model there is not only these beautiful cottage models, but also we are going to be providing home care services, bringing them inside the cottage. And really it's a way for us. We have been really looking at how do we serve that middle market. And we feel truthfully that this is a real middle market opportunity for us. It's also an opportunity from a neighborhood perspective that we have the opportunity to build 10 of them and lease them up as we build, right? So people think of development kind of as a, okay, it's going to take us 24 months to develop this and 24 months to lease up to stabilization. This is a very different product. And so a lot of capital is very excited about this. We're excited about this. We're also very excited about our more traditional type builds, right? And when I say traditional type builds, obviously we're doing some cool stuff in them.
Yeah.
But I'm just talking more from a congregate perspective, right? Over the past 2 years, we've focused some of our new development portfolio on the active adult, pure active adult. We've taken different flavors of that, right? We've done the highly amenitized, add some food options into the active adult. And then we also have some more independent assisted and memory care type models. And those really, we've been focused on high barrier to entry markets, right? And, you know, southeast, you know, northeast Florida, and so, and other places, you know, outside the DC belt, and some other places throughout the country. And so we're very excited. We think it's still a very great opportunity, although the cost of capital is a lot more expensive, right? We understand. But when you start looking at truly at the demographics of, you know, the lack of supply or product that's been put into the market in the past 36 months, and our demographics just keeps increasing every day in these markets, and in the markets that we're looking at, right? They're high barrier to entry, which means there's still a very high rate, right? High rate integrity. And for us, those are some of the key indicators that we're looking for. So we're very comfortable. We're very confident with development. We have strong development partners, co-development partners with us on many of our deals. And everyone is extremely committed to this. So we're excited. We're excited for the future. of organic growth also within our company, right? Which brings a sense of other excitement.
Yeah, I think that sense is being shared by other operators as well, really starting to take new approaches to growth and what it means to grow in this post-COVID, post-2020 environment. So really interesting to hear you kind of just give a holistic perspective on development, but also on the acquisition side of things. So really appreciate that there. I think this would be a good point too, just a quick check-in. I know we're almost at the midpoint for 2024. Can you give us an update just on what the portfolio looks like heading into June? This could be communities under management, communities that you own and operate. Would love to know just kind of where things are at from a holistic view of the portfolio right now as we're about the halfway point.
Yeah, it's a great question. So I think at the halfway point of the year, and I can't even believe this, but I was just talking with our team that we're going to be going into budget season again, right? Which is just mind baffling to me. And so, you know, for us, I mean, we have continued to see steady month over month, portfolio growth as it relates to occupancy, as it relates to revenue, as it relates to our NOI and our margins. And those are the key indicators that we are really focused and honing on, right? And then there's probably 20 things under each of those categories that I just talked about. And so for us, you know, I'll be honest with you, you know, what we just talked about and I shared with you about executing for the rest of this year, we are very focused on executing both clinically and from a sales and marketing perspective, right? Two reasons. One, obviously, we want to continue to capitalize on low product entering into the market, right? And so for us, you know, really driving, really spending, you know, dollars where we need to from a digital standpoint. Also, at the same time, I'm really focused on our boots on the ground teams in the buildings, right? That is where the rubber absolutely meets the road. While Distinctive, you know, listen, we have a great support center. We have a great infrastructure. We have great process, people, systems. At the end of the day, all that means nothing, Austin, if we don't have great team members in our buildings actually, you know, selling our communities and taking care of our residents and our team members. And so for us, we are absolutely very focused on elevating and continuing to evaluate the quality of the team members that we have in our organization. We're also very focused on our sales and marketing initiatives. And then, you know, as we just brought additional resources on with the Validus acquisition, part of that was very strategic in the rest of our, you know, Q3, Q4 plan to execute. And to really be continue to be a data driven company. And so really looking at data points, now we have more people looking at data points and giving our operations teams even more insight as to, hey, I know you got 10,000 things you're looking at every day, operator, but here are the real three things from a data point perspective that you probably want to look at because it will drive better performance in your asset, right? So we've really been focused on how can we be better operators? How can we be better operators and partners to our capital partners? And at the end of the day, that means just having better results, right? But we're very proud of what we were doing and where we are. And of course, you know, we're already looking into budgets, but also thinking about how do we continue to drive revenue, right? We've talked a lot about our 10 levels of care. We've talked a lot about our increases over the years. And we're already thinking about that. That's the mentality of our company, right? We're thinking about what do those look like as we start going into Q4. How do we have conversations with our residents? How do we have conversations with our team members? So, you know, we try to get a jump start on some of those things, which helps make that process and that expectation very clear, you know, months and months before it actually even hits. So we're planting the seeds. So that's really where we are. We're very happy the way 2024 is shaping up.
Right.
And we expect to end very strong.
That's great to hear, and I know we'll be hearing more, I'm sure, soon. So it's great to follow along, obviously. And now I want to shift in. When you're thinking about, I know we've touched on briefly some of the important areas on staffing, but I want to ask you, when you're thinking about growth and these acquisitions and the new development that's happening, would love to hear your perspective on how the leadership team is evolving, because I would really like to get your sense of how the corporate support is really also expanding alongside that rapid growth, when you're thinking about staffing. So just understanding from a leadership perspective and that corporate support perspective, would love to know just kind of where your thinking is at right now and how you're really thinking about staffing.
Yeah. So it's really a great question. So, and that is part of why this Validus transition was so important for us, right? And in a couple of areas. One, certainly from a data perspective of how do we become more efficient, right? And how do we get more efficient for our team, right? So that is one thing that is a big undertaking that we are continuing to evolve, right? Efficiencies from our staff perspective, which is one of the things we're also excited about from a development standpoint, because we have the ability to create these brand new buildings. How do we make them efficient for our staff, right? And how do we build them to be efficient operationally? Two, you know, one of the things that we've been doing, Austin, is every one of our initiatives is of the mindset that it is not to add another task to our community teams, but actually to figure out how do we layer on to a system that we already have that is fully integrated, which is why that integration question we were talking about earlier is so pivotal, right? Because our staff is at breaking points, right? Let's just be honest. It's a fight every day to keep staffing agencies out of our communities. And then keeping our staff happy, right? In these communities when they have the hardest job, right? Our frontline community staff members have the absolute hardest job, with the most demands. And so for us, you know, we have really talked about one, how are they feeling at certain points within, you know, within their tenure with us? Secondly, what are we asking of them to do? Right. And we've been evaluating all of those tasks. And so, for example, right. I'll talk to you a little bit about our care staff. Well, you don't have to be a certified care staff to go in and to make sure that all of the apartments look good and that the beds are made and that, you know, things are in tip-top shape, right? Tall shoes are put away, those kind of things. And so for us, we have been saying, okay, well, we can get a non-licensed person to go make beds and to go and do those things. And so we really look at tasks related to our staff, and really say, okay, in a pool of 100 staff members in this community, we need 30 care staff members, right? What do those 30 care staff members really need to be doing from a license standpoint, right? And what can we take off of their plate to make their job better and more efficient, with other folks that don't have to be certified necessarily, right? And so we've been thinking about, you know, how do we make our team member experience better? And the way we've been evaluating that, quite honestly, Austin, is those resources that we've brought in, right? It helps us collect data and then helps bring to the forefront truly, you know, at the end of the day, how do we execute on this data? Because, you know, a lot of organizations collect data, mm-hmm. but if you don't execute on it, you know, now you got even more pissed off employees, right? Or team members. And so we've really been focused on that. And then just kind of staffing, you know, other components that we looked at is business intelligence, right? And how do we take things off of our communities, right? From an accounting standpoint, can we bring, you know, accounting more central, right? From a HR perspective, you know, we are now working to have kind of company-wide orientation. So, you know, using some technology, right? And I'm not talking about a Relias platform. Those are more compliance. That's compliance, right, for our staff. But I'm talking about our support center staff is actually working on frontline orientation rather than taking the business office manager or taking the, you know, 10 department heads out for 5 days to do orientation for all new staff. There's still a piece of that integration, but we're trying to take a lot of that off of our team members. And really our focus has been allowing them to do the blocking and the tackling of the important things of driving our business and taking care of our team members and our residents and removing those mundane tasks as much as possible. So that's really been our focus, from a staff perspective, from an adding, you know, team members to the support center perspective. What can we take on rather than leaving at their communities to do?
That's great to hear. And I know one of the things we keep coming back to and we've talked about in the past, especially around the change of levels of care conversation that we had, I think it was last year at the first time we really talked about it. But yep. When you're thinking about right now leveraging technology to scale? It sounds like you're really focused on finding some implementation, some software that can really help make a difference to remove friction for the frontline employees. But when you're thinking about using technology to scale, what areas of operations do you think have evolved most quickly following this period of rapid growth?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. I think one, our business analytics, right? It absolutely is paramount as we continue to even add one community, quite honestly, right? And we've always had business analytics, right? But we've now been afforded the opportunity to be able to have more team members and better communication and more communication that is directly in front of our operators. And so for us, I think business data analytics has been paramount, right? And we recognized that early last year, and we really focused our time, energy, and efforts there. I think the second component of that is truly our sales and marketing, right? Being able to make sure that our sales and marketing platform is lockstep. And for us, you know, day one, when we take on a new community, our call center integration, our CRM integration, that is already fully integrated, right, with our billing and our electronic lease systems. And then we have the balances in our support center of, you know, our staff validating every lease, make sure it's properly signed. And so, you know, truly for us, this has been a very, very important driver of allowing us to expand our business, you know, and to be able to scale and make sure that we've got our finger on the pulse and all of the important details that are really the driving forces of outcome, of financial performance outcome, of good clinical performance outcomes, and good licensing outcomes, right? And at the end of the day, if we could do all those things, I think we can continue to scale our platform at the appropriate time, in the appropriate place, with the appropriate capital partner.
One of the things I heard recently from an operator, they had told me bluntly, essentially, that operators needed to stop villainizing their capital partners. And I thought that was just a really succinct way of talking about how the evolution between the capital side of the house and the operation side of the house have really, it's kind of come to a point where you have to align those relationships or you're not setting yourself up for success. So really interesting to hear how you think about that holistically. And now just last question here, would love to get your thoughts on the rest of the year. What's the rest of the year look like for Distinctive? And just generally, how you feeling? Seems like you're moving right along.
Yeah. I think, and just to go back to 2 seconds to your comment there, Austin. So, you know, I think COVID really forced that ambiguous gray area that's always lived between capital and operations, right? Because capital has been forced essentially to do a deeper dive into the operations of the assets, right? And just the actual, you know, economy where interest rates and balloons and, you know, SOFR and all of these things are through the roof right now, which debt service has, you know, gone up, right? And it's put operators in really tough spots. And historically, operators have not been, I don't want to say not been truthful with capital, but have not, you know, they always wanted to kind of sugarcoat things with capital, right? To say, oh, we're a good operator, things are okay, things are good. Well, now everyone's been forced to really be transparent of, hey, things aren't great. We can't achieve $30,000 more of NOI in this building for whatever the reason is. And I know your debt increased by $30,000 overnight, right? And so I think that we're in a much more symbiotic period of time with capital and operations, really because capital has had to really take a tough look at, okay, goodness, we can't just fire the operator and replace them because there's only so many operators, right? We can't just keep going through them. We have to really put our heads together. And that has always been our approach at Distinctive is let's understand, you know, how long is this asset going to be within our portfolio? What is the start and end game for us? And really just have that open, honest communication when things are good, but more importantly, when things aren't good, right? Or there's a challenge or, you know, we're not meeting our debt covenant, whatever it is, right? And, you know, we've taken on lots of assets from capital that has made transitions from other operators, right? And you know, we've just been very blunt about what we think we truthfully can do in the market and the asset. So I just wanted to kind of touch on that because I think it's very important that I think things have shifted for the better between capital and operators, right? You know, and so, and quite honestly, we couldn't be operators without capital. So exactly. It is very, very important, right? And we really value that relationship. And so just to answer your question about the remainder of the year and what our outlook is, I think our outlook is very positive, right? We intend to break ground probably on 3 or 4 new developments through the end of the year. We are right now looking at potentially raising a fund that will help us organically have growth opportunities, right? And, you know, certainly we are very focused on performance. And that is quite honestly, if we didn't take on another asset the rest of this year, our focus is executing what we have and driving our business organically internally. And so that is the message that came from our leadership. We're very excited about all the market demographics and the lack of supply and, you know, the continued great NIC data and the Brookdale data that's being put out, right, about highest occupancies in the history of the company. Also putting out, you know, consecutive quarterly growth over not only occupancy, but NOI growth. You know, and really just continuing to focus on our rate integrity. We are very, as you know, a very top line focused organization. And so, and we're really, really optimistic. I'll tell you just to wrap up here, you know, I spend a lot of time talking with my peers, right? And other CEOs in our space. And I will tell you that a year ago, coming out of Nick, coming out of Asha, it was doom and gloom, right? The tide has turned. While interest rates may not have turned yet, you know, capital is certainly getting more comfortable with projects and figuring out how to get creative, right? Because they also understand that it's an opportunistic time. However, CEOs, operating CEOs, are now also starting to have that optimistic perspective, right? That we're turning the corner. And so I think we're going into a year, you know, potentially 2025, poised for a lot of success, a lot of new product that has been kind of, everyone's been, you know, figuring out how do we best model, but now figuring out how to get it capitalized. I think it's going to all start to blossom and bloom soon. And so let me just say this, I'm cautiously optimistic.
Well, Joe, I appreciate you coming on Transform as always. Really enjoyed the conversations, and we'll definitely look forward to future conversations as well. So thanks for joining.
Yep. Thanks, Austin.
That does it for this episode of Transform. I'm Austin Montgomery for Senior Housing News. Thanks for listening.